What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, October 1st, 2019, the most wonderful time of the year. Yeah! I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the former informer, Imran Khan.
I like the name. It rolls off the tongue well.
I had to really think about it because somebody pitched it last time, remember?
Yeah.
And then I couldn't remember what it was until it right there, and it popped up, and I was there. I haven't seen you in forever. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually doing great. October is great.
It is.
I woke up feeling energized this morning. I'm feeling great today.
Do you love Halloween?
I have no particular feelings about Halloween. I don't dislike Halloween. I just never done much on it.
You should do stuff with us.
Okay.
I think we're seeing Terminator, I believe, on Halloween night, and maybe throwing a Halloween party the day before or the day after. Kevin will have the details.
Okay, I'm down for all of that.
Okay, good. Okay.
I do like watching horror movies with friends all October.
Yeah.
It's like, have you ever seen Axum?
No.
Axum is the most fucking terrible Halloween movie of all time.
Okay.
Or not Halloween, particularly, but like
just
a horror movie.
Yeah.
I highly encourage it. I think it's
You're
on YouTube.
You're selling me on it. Yeah.
I think it's on YouTube. Watch it with friends. It is literally the most B movie you can see.
Where do you come down on the scary games, the Halloween games? Is that something you get into in October as well?
I get into those whenever.
Yeah.
Like, I do them in October because, like, honestly, you have a stream, you want to play scary games for, you know, the month of October, because that's when people want to give money for those things. But I will play a scary game whenever I feel like the need or the desire to play a scary game.
This year, I feel like I'm being drawn to get into some Halloween games. And granted, I think it's easy with stuff like Medieval, Luigi's Mansion, right? There, Ghostbusters. There's games out there that are the spoopy variety. But I re-downloaded Cosmo Quest 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to try to get through Cosmo Quest 2 this time. But then again, October, not a slow time for video games.
Yeah.
Not like I'm just sitting on my hands. I got plenty of stuff to play.
Let me ask you this, re-scary games.
Sure.
Do you know or do you care if it's a Japanese scary game or an American scary game? Or Western, I should say.
I know what you mean. I don't know if I care. Usually I'm more drawn to Western gameplay styles,
mm-hmm.
but if we're talking like Fatal Frame and stuff, right,
yeah.
from Japan, yeah, those are awesome games.
I think I dig like the Japanese ghost style more than I can't think of many Western horror games that really appeal to me. But like just the Japanese horror, like the ghost that will come out of nowhere just in a frame and freak you out. That's the kind
of
thing I did.
I see. I was going to, of course, recommend Murder Soul Suspect, which
I have played Murder Soul Suspect. That game falls apart so hard in the last hour. Like, it's the funniest fucking thing.
But hey, it's the best work Travis Willingham ever did. I digress. Today we're talking about Sean Layden leaving PlayStation. We're talking about Gearbox and SAG responding to Troy Baker. And ladies and gentlemen, if that wasn't enough, PlayStation now is cutting its price in half. We'll cover it all because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. For everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. The printer not working with me today. It's being spoopy as well. Housekeeping for you. Thank you to our Patreon producers. Oh, actually, I don't have them. Joey Shit. Noel, sick. And if you didn't know, Joey Noel,
also moving.
The cog that keeps the entire machine of Kinda Funny running.
Yep.
So I'm aware that a lot of people writing on the subreddit today, where do I submit questions? There's no October link. We pulled them from September. Everything's going to be okay. However, there are October producers that I don't have anymore.
Shit.
I don't have those. So I'm going to say Monday's ones, which were September's final ones, patreon.com/reretrogame, Blackjack and Mohammed Mohammed. Chances are Mohammed and Blackjack are doing it again because they kind of are awesome and take care of us all the time.
You know, I want to know what else, another housekeeping thing for you.
Sure, what's
related
that, Barry
Gordon? patreon.com/kindoffunny or patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. At the platinum tier, we have the Star Wars Kinda Funny shirt.
I saw those. Those were great.
If you support us at the platinum tier this month, you will get that shirt, and it's dope. So,
it is dope.
Yeah,
it says Star Wars, and like the sirens are on our side.
The sirens are on our end. Yeah, what we have to say all the time because you hear the sirens go through,
which happen just as a like
as it happens. That's how it is around here. Sometimes it's like we planned the chaos that happens. Today we're brought to you by Third Love and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I'm going to say 3.5 items on the Roper Report.
A weird Baker's dozen.
Thank you, Barry. Number one, It shocked us while we were recording the Kinda Funny podcast live yesterday. Sean Layden is leaving PlayStation. The news comes from a tweet and nowhere else. Tweeted yesterday at 9:30, that's September 30th, at 4:05 p.m., PlayStation tweeted, "It is with great emotion that we announce that Worldwide Studios Chairman Sean Layden will be departing SIE. His visionary leadership will be greatly missed. We wish him success in future endeavors and are deeply grateful for his years of service. Thanks for everything, Sean." And that was it.
That's it.
That was the Worldwide Studios chairman leaving PlayStation. He's been there since 1998, I believe. Not in that role. He's been
only been in the role for about 4 years.
Exactly. Yeah. But he's been on his way up for quite some time. He's been doing a bunch of stuff with PlayStation. That's it. As of October 1st at 9:09 a.m., there's still no tweet from him. Mm-hmm. There is no official SIE press release. I tweeted about this yesterday. Sony loves nothing more than sending out press releases.
Yeah.
There's already a press release out about the PlayStation Now stuff we'll get to in a second. Nothing about the chairman of Worldwide Studios leaving the company.
And it's not like he's not been on Twitter. I've been watching his likes. He's been liking stuff about this. He just hasn't said anything himself.
Did he like my tweets? Did you see?
He did not like your tweets. He liked a lot of what was it? The girl got game, like that initiative.
Oh, yeah.
He's liking those tweets, and he's liking tweets that are like, oh, Sean's going to be missed, and stuff like that. But he's not, like, saying anything about it, which, when we get to the question, like, this is weird.
You want to bring in the question away?
Go ahead. Let's do
Ignacio
that.
Rojas writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. It says, how's it shaking, Greg and Imran? With the weird handling of the news that Sean Layden will be leaving PlayStation, what does this say of the company? I think I'm not the only one who believes PlayStation has changed in the last few years compared to the first years of this generation. It's starting to feel like 2006 all over again. Should we be worried that the mistakes of the PS3 launch will repeat themselves with the PS5? Anyways, as always, keep being awesome.
Reason I wanted to get to this because it mentions the weird handling, and it
yeah,
is...
we're gonna talk. We'll answer the real question of it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's so... I've been watching all this stuff for years and years, long before this is completely abnormal for PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And like when they put out that tweet, then Sony Japan put out a separate release that IGN had some people who like, you know, speak Japanese. They looked at that, like other people have looked at it too and translated it, and it uses the word, or the equivalent of the word retired.
Mm.
And nothing else uses that. So that word is key, because if he's retiring Worldwide Studios, that makes some sense.
I don't think he's retiring at all.
Yeah.
That's the thing about this, is that it's so weird. I know I've had conversations with people that are pointing to like how we've already seen this power struggle, right, with Jim Ryan coming in and Kodera going
in. I've heard
out.
That too.
Yeah.
Because so when Kodera left, it was super weird too, because he'd only been at the role for about 12 months.
Exactly, yeah, which is highly unlikely. Yeah,
and then he didn't leave. He like exchanged roles with Jim Ryan. So he took a demotion while Jim Ryan got promoted. And then, like, in the last couple of years, House has left, Trenton has left. Trenton left to give Layden his job, essentially. But But it has been a very strange thing, especially on the cusp, like, literally months away from a new console being revealed.
The
head of Worldwide Studios goes, all right, I'm out.
And that's what's weird about it, and what I was talking about yesterday in my tweets about it, right? It's weird that it's just a tweet. There's no press release. There's no official messaging from him. They don't at him in it. This isn't how PlayStation does business, which to me makes it feel like Sean Layden yesterday was in a room with somebody, and I don't know what happened, but when he left that room, he's like, I'm out, I'm leaving, I'm done.
Yeah.
And granted, maybe you're on the fence for a while, maybe that's been... I hypothesized on Twitter, right, like, maybe it was... I know in the old days, I'm not sure how it is anymore, but in the old days, like, I remember when somebody was like, I'm gonna go to GameSpot, and they worked at IGN. Mm-hmm. IGN was like, cool. Thank you for your service. We don't need 2 weeks' notice. You have to leave now because it's a competitor.
Right.
So like yesterday on Twitter, I was like, maybe he's going to like a Google Stadia. Maybe he came in and gave us 2 weeks' notice, and they're like, get the fuck out now. No. Yeah.
Stadia would be my best guess, honestly.
Yeah.
But like also, he's head of Worldwide Studios. You kind of give that more respect than you would, you know, an engineer like down.
Totally.
Like, so I don't know.
Do you read it that like it was a yesterday decision that finally the straw broke the camel's back?
Usually when they do this, when they have a transition, they announce who's next.
Yeah.
Like they have someone in line. They probably do have someone in line for this, but they haven't gotten them like suited up yet.
Right.
So
There's usually a transition, right? There's usually a handoff of the baton, especially as you're saying, leading into the launch of the PlayStation 5.
Because that's how Sony PR works, is they want to make sure people know that there's a peaceful, like that it's being handed off.
Transition of power.
Yeah, easily. Nothing is going wrong. But in this case, this feels panicky in a weird way. And I kind of want, I'm guessing we've both heard that Jim Ryan and Sean Layden have had different ideas of where the PlayStation brand should go in, like, the last 10 years, starting with when Jim Ryan was at Sony Europe and he was shepherding the PS3. And Layton has been pretty open about how the fact that, like, yeah, we fucked up with the PS3 bad. Yeah. That was our moment of hubris. And Ryan has always looked at it like, you guys may have fucked up, but I made it work in Europe.
Yeah.
So I wonder if, like, Ryan, who is a very, like, services kind of guy, he's not big on, like, spending billions and billions of dollars on single-player games when, they could be making that money on, like, games as a service as well. And Sean Layton has always been like, no, let's do the Gods of War. Let's do the God of War.
Gods of War.
the Spider-Man, those kind of games. So I don't think that's going to change in the next couple of years, but...
Well, that's where it starts filtering into Ignacio's question, right? Yeah. Of, like, what PlayStation are we getting? And for me personally, yeah, that's been the sad realization, in fact, I guess, of this generation, where PlayStation 4, you know, started, you know, with a they had a bloody nose and a bruised eye, right? And they were had to get up off the mat with PlayStation 4, which made them young and scrappy, which made them come out and be like, all right, cool, it's February, we're announcing this thing, it's just a PC, it's a really nice PC, get indie devs, please come work with us. And then it was the E3 thing of, here's how you exchange games, and also, like, you can here's the price, there's no game sharing gating and everybody going crazy in the audience. It was when you're in second place, when you want to make that impact, that's when you get crazy and you do really awesome things. And that's what we're seeing right now at Xbox, right? Where I do think Phil Spencer and, you know, the accessibility stuff, Game Pass stuff, the Play Anywhere stuff, like, they're in xCloud now. They're actually saying, like, all right, cool, these are things that traditionally, if we were number one, we'd want to shy away from because we just want you to keep doing it. But we're number two by a wide margin.
Yeah.
Let's give you reasons to come to Xbox.
And they cannot count this. Like, they got... I don't want to say super lucky because it was also a very smart marketing and tactical decision with the beginning of the generation.
Yeah.
Of, like, you know, we're exactly the same. We're not going to change. They got very fortunate that Microsoft sort of fell on their shoes.
Sure. Well, I mean, it was that thing of, again, PlayStation was able to come out with the message I think, all wanted to hear, which was, we're a machine for gamers. This is the gamer's machine.
I appeared on my PS4 after that E3 of, like, here's Kingdom Hearts 3, here's Final Fantasy 15. I'm like, fuck, I'm in.
Yeah.
They can't really do that this time.
Yeah.
And, like, who knows what they're going to reveal this year or this E3, if they're even going. But, like, if I don't think I could easily picture a situation where Layton is saying, we need to keep pushing hard on these things we've been doing because they've been working for us.
Yeah.
And Ryan is saying, no, that's not going to work this time because Microsoft is not going to trip on their laces. Do they even think of competition as a thing now? Or is it just game sales and service numbers and all that?
Yeah.
This generational transition is probably the biggest one for them, even though internally it seems like, oh, well, we proved consoles are back. We proved that we can make these numbers still.
Yeah.
It's still a changing and evolving thing. So the way internal power struggles work is you look at this person who's disagreeing with you and stopping you from doing what you think is best, and suddenly you think, wouldn't it be so much easier if they weren't here? And, like, we could actually move on and get things done the way they need to be done. So I wouldn't be shocked if that were the case. Like, obviously, we don't know. Maybe he is just taking a role at Stadia. Maybe he wants to spend more time with his kids, but usually they say
But that's the bullshit. Yeah, that's the thing. If it was that, if it was a Reggie move, it would be a, here's the full-blown press release, here's a PlayStation's tweet, here's Sean's tweet, here's the plan. The fact that it's just like, oh, God, 4 or 5, put something out. You know, we have to be out in case, you quit, there's no one telling you anymore what you're going to tweet and what you can say. And so PlayStation wants to have the messaging out, right? That Sean Layden no longer works for us.
Yeah.
Like, whatever he's about to do or say or whatever, it's great. We'll see you later and make it look, you know, positive on their end, which I'm sure for the overwhelming majority it is, regardless of how whatever happened yesterday happened. But yeah, like, it's not, I want to go fishing more.
I will say, as someone who has worked on the news side of this job, that if they actually had this planned, they would have told people beforehand.
100%.
They would have, like, sent that out an embargo, like, even a couple of hours of saying, hey, this is going to happen at 4 o'clock. Watch your Twitter. We're going to announce Sean Layden is leaving. The fact that it's that abrupt, like, again, untagged, even though he has a Twitter account, he was active on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... And also, Layden's always felt kind of uncomfortable in front of the camera. So I can understand from that perspective why he wouldn't do, like, the Reggie goodbye video.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I understand that. Yeah. But, I mean, just in general.
Yeah.
The, you know, boilerplate quote.
Yeah.
It's been a great, you know, oh, by the way, I got you wronged. Thank you very much, Ill Girl Chill. Sean Layden started at PlayStation in 1987 as a communications assistant. Yeah, it's been a wonderful 30-plus years.
He's been there forever, and it's like, it just feels, I'm not going to say he was pushed out, but it doesn't feel planned.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah, but
and that's what's going to be so fascinating is now we have to wait. I you know, I tweeted last night about it, and I was like, all right, now hope see what develops overnight. Nothing has developed. Yeah. There's been no statements. There's been no articles. It's like, fuck, what happened?
I mean, I think they're just going to want to move on from it and just be like, we're not going to talk about this. This is Sean decided to go somewhere else. That's it. And like I was looking at the tweet. Wish him success in his future endeavors and are deeply grateful for his years of service. I kind of wonder if the Japanese phrasing is just like being polite. Of like, we don't want to say he's going to a competitor.
Yeah.
So like, we're just going to say retiring.
And that was for me, like the more, when I first read it, right? And it seems so abrupt, right? Again, it's 2019. My first thing was, oh my God, what did he fucking do? You know what I mean? Of like, what? But then I read it and like, we weren't on a podcast anymore. It's like, okay, no, they're saying enough nice things in here that it's not, if it was a Me Too thing, if it was, he literally ran somebody over and it was about to, the shoe was about to drop, it would totally be a, Sean Layden no longer works for PlayStation. It would be very clinical, right? It would be cut and dry. Here's what it is. There wouldn't be any room to navigate and us to have a conversation of it being nice, right? Like
that said, like whoever, so whatever wheels he put in motion are going to stay in motion for at least the next 2-3 years.
Yeah.
So whatever's going to happen with the PS5 in the first couple of years is going to be the same. After that is going to be a different question. Because like, let's take a look at the Don Matrick, Phil Harrison transition.
Yeah, yeah.
Magic clearly put a lot of wheels in motion that
Phil Spencer,
sorry.
No, it's fine.
That
it's very confusing. Yeah, Harrison being at PlayStation and then leaving, now at Stadia.
He's also at the Sega and Sony. It's very confusing. But when Spencer got in, he clearly didn't like some of the Magic initiatives. Like obviously Kinect stuff, he was like, no, screw that, we're done with it.
The TV.
TVs,
Call of Duty.
A lot of his single player games he wasn't happy with, the platinum game, like the deals Magic made, like what was that game? Phantom Dust. Like that was a game that I think Magic was super into because it was like, okay, let's bring back some of the things that made Xbox unique. And Harris was like, well, we don't need this. This is like an old game no one really cared about.
No one cares about this franchise.
Yeah. So like he ended up like shaking house, and I imagine whoever takes Layden's place is gonna go, well, okay, obviously we keep the God of War and the Spider-Man and all that stuff, but do we need another medieval remake or what have you?
Yeah.
And I think those are the things that are going to start taking, like, those are the things at the periphery of the edges are going to start peeling off a little bit, and then we'll get into whatever Jim Ryan's Sony is going to look like.
But it's so weird, right? Because I feel like we've said it a lot recently and then kind of taken a step back with some of the choices, but PlayStation 3 PlayStation was so world of the weird. Let's make a bunch of weird shit. Let's put out all sorts of weird artsy-fartsy games. It's cool if they don't sell. We're here to have fun. We're an art house, right?
Yeah.
And then PlayStation 4 launched in a similar place of, hey, we're the machine for gamers. You know what I mean? Gio Corsi being up there. Adam Boyes being up there. Yeah. The Vita.
Boyes also a high-profile departure.
Exactly. Well, I mean, John Drake as well, right? Like, you don't have to go far. Nick Suttner. Like, there's all these people that made the PlayStation brand what it is this generation that are no longer there, which then makes you wonder, what the hell is the PlayStation brand next generation?
Mm-hmm.
But it was that idea even still of like, all right, cool. You know, here's a bunch of weird indies we're supporting, and we want you to get behind Octodad and blah, blah, blah. As that slowly started to fade away and E3s, before they stopped, just became more and more, here's just the AAA exclusives, you get to that point now where it's like, okay, what is Sean Layden's PlayStation, right? What was it anymore? Is it what we've seen as they've started to move away? Was it the remnants of the weird stuff, Jack Trenton's PlayStation, right? And then as we move into the Sean Layden thing, we're figuring it out. And okay, we're still going to make a medieval. We're still going to support Pixel Opus to make something like Concrete Genie. Like, that's a weird game. And then if we move towards this Jim Ryan mentality, is it just going to be that, all right, cool, we just have the worldwide studios making first-party titles. That's it. That's all we're doing. We're making big AAA games. The rest have to get away.
I mean, possibly, like, it's one of those questions that we're not going to know until we see the results of it and can start piecing together like, oh, this must have been where this transition happened. And it's especially difficult because, honestly, Layden had to sell a lot of Jack Ryan's terrible ideas of like...
Jack Ryan's covert op.
There's so many very Amazon, similar names that like apply to other names.
Sure, I know.
But Ryan was very famously against crossplay.
And, oh, yeah, we had to protect the kids.
Yeah,
had, someone had to think of the children, Barrett.
And then you had Layden out there, like, I think it was a Game Informer interview where Layden was saying things that were about crossplay just, like, explicitly not true. And people were calling him on it. I don't think he wanted to be out there saying these things. I think there were strings above him and policies above him that he was beholden to.
Of course.
So I'm sure he was frustrated to that extent. But let me ask you this, because Layden's big initiative in the last couple of years was Sony Pictures, or not Sony Pictures, PlayStation.
You're right. Yeah. I forgot about this. Fuck, he's like co-board director or whatever the hell of
the
title.
He wanted to be like the Kevin Feige of Sony.
They still have universe. Kizilbash over there, though, right?
Yeah. I think Kizilbash is also a good option for taking over Layton's job. Him and Yoshida would be the first guesses on my tongue. But I wonder if the kind of failure of Sony Pictures or whatever the PlayStation Pictures.
Yeah, I'm trying to. This is a Polygon 2019, May 20th.
Yeah.
Sony announces PlayStation Productions. Interactive's new PlayStation Productions.
I wonder if the failure to get that off the ground was either frustrating him or frustrating the people above him.
Hey, they got Uncharted now, right? Isn't that part? It's under the umbrella now.
They temporarily they quote unquote have Uncharted. We'll see how long that
PlayStation
lasts.
Production is being led by Asad Kizilbash, an 11-year veteran of Sony's PlayStation Marketing Group and overseen by Sean Layden, chairman of SIE Worldwide Studios.
I wonder if maybe like people above him were caught like holding the strings on that too tightly, or maybe he was like having trouble with it and people above him weren't happy about it. Or maybe it's just not involved at all. Maybe it's this could be as simple as he just wanted to go. He got a job at Stadia. He got a job at Microsoft. Who knows? Like, he wants to go.
He got another job, and it is the best case scenario. Hey, here's my letter of resignation. I'll give you the 2 months or 2 weeks. And they're like, no, you got to go now. Okay, bye, guys. You know what I mean? I still think then it would play differently to me. I just feel like if that was it, because it would be the tweet. He tweets. You know, there'd be a tweet of like, thank you for the 30 plus years at PlayStation. I can't wait to see you guys to see what I do next kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he isn't, and everybody's like eating themselves trying to figure out what's going on, I think is like the best case scenario for when you end badly, when you have a bad breakup and you walk away and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to throw you a life preserver. I'm not going to throw you this life vest.
As someone that recently had a bad breakup, that's the feeling of like watching Twitter and just being like, I'm just going to see what people say and like their tweets.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Granted, I'm a loudmouth, so I got into it anyway. But like, I can definitely see people who are more mature than me just going like, I'm not going to say anything. I just like, this happened. This is like painful. I just want to embrace the positivity and just move on.
Yeah.
But again, until he shows up somewhere else, like if we see Sean Layden at GDC just walking around in a Stadia t-shirt.
In his nice scarf.
Yeah.
He always has dope scarf.
He looking at like a really super nice blue and white one last time. I was like, I really want that.
Yeah. Well, now maybe, you know, PlayStation colors. He'll sell it to you on the cheap. The point five I put on this story is a different one. The head of PlayStation Japan/Asia has retired at 60 as well. Atsushi Morita retiring. This one seems like a more normal one. In terms of, like, this is how it generally goes. Like, here's an announcement. It seems like everything's okay.
Yeah.
The chief financial officer of SIE is set to replace Morita as corporate director. Oh, look at that. Oh, no successor to the role of Japan Asia president has been confirmed as of yet.
So, but also, Sony Japan has been so de-emphasized. Totally. Technically, Sony has run out of there, but PlayStation has run out of America. So
I wanted to put it out there just as a heads up. I know people were definitely looking at that as, like, the sky really is falling. I'm like, that one feels planned. That one feels like, okay, normal. This 60-year-old guy's retiring. Okay. Yeah. Sean Layden just a tweet from PlayStation and be like, we're gone. He's gone. Bye.
Which is not always going to like a terrible, like I said, these wheels were in motion for a long time. And like, let's take Nintendo for an example. Like, obviously, Iwata had a very untimely passing, but the Switch is kind of what he concepted out at one point. Like, he gave the green light for all those things. And even though there are people who like did the actual designing and engineer work and put the big games on there, like, those wheels started when he was still president. So it's 2019 now, and we're finally starting to, not finally, but we're getting out of the Iwata era these days.
Right, yeah.
I think it's going to take quite a while for us to, if you still like PS4 right now, you are still going to like them in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
I do also wonder, like, what does this mean for, because from what I've heard, Layden was one of the people who didn't like to stay in shows. Because he just didn't like the idea of going out there on stage and being like, we're spending millions of dollars to, like, just introduce a thing that we could just roll on trailers.
Interesting.
So maybe
State of Play was his idea.
I don't know if it was his idea specifically, but
he was for it.
Yeah, he liked the idea of not spending all your marketing money on being at a press conference. So maybe those come back. Maybe Sony goes big again. We'll see. I think we'll see by February what their next their heading is.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Nanobiologist points out in kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong that some people who leave companies for others have NDAs in their contracts where they can't say anything after leaving for a couple of weeks. Could be the case here.
Yeah.
Good point. Hadn't brought up that wrinkle that could be it for sure.
In that case, I would still question the lack of a press release. But
Sean Layden, this is a you're wrong. We're getting updates on Sean Layden's tweets now. That Sean Layden tweeted at Pixelopus, the Concrete Genie people, a heart. So he is still on Twitter. We knew he was still on Twitter. Don't worry about that. It was just
we know nothing has happened to Sean Layden. It just
his boat crashed overnight. More importantly, I'd like to throw the one and only Shuhei Yoshida in the running for this job. Right?
Yeah,
get him out there. Come on.
He makes a lot of sense.
President of Sony Worldwide Studios, then they brought in this chairman over him. I didn't like it one bit.
Yeah,
I held my tongue for years, Imran, but I'm done holding it.
I mean,
that
was definitely a weird thing where they were essentially demoting him.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems like he fits for Worldwide Studios' head right now.
Yeah, 100%. That's why he was so happy to be popping that champagne with Kojima. Those
that felt like a weird picture to have, like, that day.
Yeah. Well, it was the day before, but yeah. Yeah, it all happens in the end. Maybe he was double smiles for that.
Maybe they didn't tell him at all and, like, you know, this is happening. Oh, well.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm going to hear Death Stranding's here, and the baby talks me through the controller. This is great. We have an update as number two on the Roper Report. Both SAG and Gearbox have put out statements about Troy Baker's statement that he was in Borderlands 3 because Gearbox didn't want to go union.
Stop!
This is Cecilia Akitako. I think after this, it's done. I think after this, there won't be anything more to
be
say.
Like five
you
right?
say that now.
I do say that now. The SAG AFTRA statement reads like this. We applaud any member who stands up for workplace fairness and the integrity of their creative work. It is a courageous decision to act in the best interests of one's fellow SAG AFTRA members, and this honors all working people. The misguided decision by Gearbox to deny their performers the opportunity to have fair union wages, a safe workplace, and the possibility of health care coverage for their families is unfortunate. We attempted to sign Gearbox to a union agreement. They refused and disengaged from those talks. We look forward to hearing from Gearbox We look forward to hearing from any Gearbox performer who is interested in the many protections a union agreement offers actors. I guess I should have. I always assume you guys listen to every show. If you're dropping in today, it's because of Sean. Heads up, yeah. You remember how Troy Baker was Reese in Tales from the Borderlands? He was not Reese in Borderlands 3. There was a kerfluffle online where Randy Pitchford's like, Troy said no. Troy's like, I didn't say no. Randy's like, I heard that he said no. And Troy's like, you should check your fucking facts. And then there's a long silence. And then yesterday there was a statement in an interview with Troy in VG247 where Troy was basically like, they wouldn't go union, so I didn't do the job.
Yeah.
Then there was a long discussion on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Like, wait, Ashley's union. All these other people are union. Why are they working on the game and not Troy? To which we'll have a statement in a second. But that SAG's statement on this, here's Gearbox's response to Kotaku as well. Troy is an exceptional talent, and we were disappointed that he declined to partner on Borderlands 3 after being offered the part. We wish him the best and hope he knows the offer to collaborate with him still stands. Gearbox is a Texas company and is bound by Texas law, which means that a person cannot be denied employment because of membership or non-membership in a labor union or other labor organization. As a talent-owned and talent-led organization, Gearbox enthusiastically works to ensure our pay and working conditions meet or exceed union standards. We also believe strongly in hiring local voice actors whenever we can, which is why we're thrilled Troy's career really took off after working with us. End quote. Statement up. Gearbox high fives, thinks they nailed it. I saw.
That feels petty as fuck.
So many people. Yeah, for sure, right? It's like such a weird sign off of, yeah, we believe strongly and we are thrilled that Troy's career really took off after working with us. I saw so many people see that and tweet, what the fuck, dude? I think it was Mike Mahardy from GameSpot who was like,
yeah,
saying Troy's career took off after Tales from the Borderlands is like saying Michael Jordan was his best when he's playing for the Wizards. And I get it because this is such an obtuse statement. It's worth pointing out, Troy actually does credit them with this because Troy worked with them on Brothers in Arms Road to Hill 30 in 2005, which was the first time I ever interviewed Troy on Up at Noon. We really got to sit down and talk. Mm. Like, he talked about what it was like filming some of these scenes here, and you get what I think it was, even the question was leading into like how what it was like to be like Last of Us and stuff like that. And like, he was doing stuff, emotional acting similar to Last of Us with Brothers in Arms. And so that was a Gearbox game when, if you remember, like the whole clique of Troy and Travis and Laura, they all were Texas based.
Mm-hmm.
So they were Texas based. They did a whole bunch of different stuff there, including a whole bunch of Funimation stuff before they went out to LA and became the big time Hollywood celebrities.
Yeah.
Still, a weird sign-off to this statement.
Accurate, but it feels like it's trying to take a stab at him. Like, you owe us.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
oh, we were on the Troy Baker train before. All right, Gearbox, you already don't look good. Like, just don't throw it in there. You don't need to throw it in there.
It feels like the kind of statement you see from the White House of, like, just trying to be kind of like a petty throw.
One final stab before they get out of it.
Yeah, no, you are not seeing a position of, like, good PR here.
Yeah.
But honestly, this like I saw you guys talk about it last night, so I don't want to go too much over those.
No, you're
things.
Fine. I do want to bring in Trevor Starkey, our friend, of course, a friend of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunny. I thought it was a bit too long in detail for You're Wrong, but I wanted to provide my perspective, having worked in theaters with actors' equity contracts. On the whole, why Ashley worked out, but not Troy for Borderlands discussion. There's a lot here. I edited a lot of it down to these parts that I thought were very interesting. I would guess that Gearbox likely offered Ashley one of those special SAG-AFTRA guest contracts, as well as similar contracts to presumed union members Chris Hardwick, Ice-T, and Penn & Teller. They were even more likely to do so for Ashley, viewing her and Anthony Birch as part of the Gearbox family from their time working on Borderlands 2. The work of these performers on the project would then be with the blessing of SAG-AFTRA, but it would also have made the union reps wary of how much union talent worked on the project, and they would want to move in the direction of the whole project being a union project. Better pay and benefits across actors involved, more potential union members, etc., etc. When you combine this with Troy's comments, quote, they wouldn't go union and I can't do a non-union gig, with the fact that they ultimately used Ray Chase in the role, a SAG-AFTRA union member, probably best known as Noctis from Final Fantasy XV, my theory would be that it came down to the fact that the whole project wasn't a union gig. Even if Gearbox had been willing to offer Troy a special union contract, which they presumably did for Chase and everybody we just talked about. It's still all very hypothetical, as only those involved with the negotiations know the truth, but I thought this might provide a bit more context/analysis on the matter if you were all interested in continuing the conversation. That is interesting with that light, because our whole thing for a while, even yesterday, was like, wait, is Ashley SAG? Yes, she's SAG. Okay, great. I didn't realize that this Chase guy was Noctis and that he was the one who replaced Troy as Reese in the game. So you're using a bunch of SAG members in there, which there are different options, which then now goes back to what Trevor points out with this Troy quote, they wouldn't go union and I can't do a non-union gig.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Troy Baker, as we always say, right, like if you have a platform, use it. If Troy Baker is now to that point where he's like, line in the sand, like I'm only going to do something if it's union so that you benefit all my people, which would then go even further with SAG's quote that we had earlier.
Yeah, which also is a question of like, why isn't the game union? Like, can they can afford it? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That game is sold what, like five million
in 5 days. Yeah. So we're way beyond that now. Yeah.
Like, why can't they just do that? Like, also, I'm of two minds of this. Like, on one hand, it would have been great to have Troy Baker in that role. On the other hand, the role kind of sucks. Like, the Reese in Borderlands 3 isn't good. They boiled down a very complex character from Tales of the Borderlands and turned him into a mustache joke.
If you didn't play Tales from the Borderlands, which, shame on you,
yes,
you should play Tales from
best
the Borderlands.
Best Telltale game, for sure.
Reese is awesome in it, and obviously he's the character you play or whatever, you're making decisions, feeling him out, fleshing out. But yeah, like, his whole storyline in this is like, do you like my mustache?
Yeah.
And I hate Malawan.
Yeah.
Like, all right. And it's one of those, I wonder, you know, you talk about they have the money for it, right? I wonder if they obviously want to honor their legacy. They want to put people like Ashley in the game. But even Ashley's used very little, right?
And that's she has like one scene and a couple of radio stuff. That's it.
Yeah. There's some side missions too. But it's that thing of like, did they write them so little because they're like, well, we hope we get the big names and we don't want to pay them.
Yeah.
We don't want to pay them like for a week of work. We'd rather it be one afternoon of work.
On the other hand, Chris Hardwick, which is a voice they probably should have replaced,
yep,
was like, he has so many lines in that game.
Yeah, like, the whole first like couple hours are like.
And then I went back to Pandora last night, and he's still like getting
jabbering
mission.
At
yeah.
you.
It was like, oh god, another Vaughn mission, great. Which they boiled him down to basically just abs and bandits.
Again, yeah. It's a weird thing of like, man, these characters were so interesting and had so much development in Tales from the Borderlands. But in the Borderlands, this, I guess it goes back to when they announced Tales from the Borderlands.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would I want, Telltale's a story game. The Borderlands games aren't story, right? Mm-hmm. And then playing it, you're like, oh man, this is a great story. But then when I'm back in the Borderlands game and I just want to run around and shoot shit.
Yeah.
Do I actually want to sit there and listen and, you know?
I think I was talking on Twitter like a couple of weeks ago, like, Tales from the Borderlands makes Borderlands 3 a little worse. Because it shows you can do very cool, interesting things with the characters in that world.
Yeah.
It's just, they didn't.
Now, here's my question for you, because obviously I'm right there with you. Tales from the Borderlands, obviously this pinnacle. Do you want that from Borderlands 3?
I think if they put it like, so there's already so much writing and dialogue in that game.
Yeah.
It would not have hurt for it to be good. Have you done the Kill-A-Lock quest? Yep. The guy on Meridian that like was former Mad Moxie boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Where I have to,
the game show.
Yeah, exactly. I'm doing it for Mad Moxie to get there to have sex with him to then kill him.
Yeah. He just does not shut up that entire quest.
Right.
And it's all just really fucking terrible sex jokes.
Yeah.
The entire time. you could have done that quest well. Like, you could have written that quest well, and it would have been a better quest. But, like, I had a friend that did it before, and, like, that friend, she's in our group as well.
Yeah.
And she was saying, like, okay, this quest sucks so much because this guy just does not stop talking.
Sure.
And, like, okay, it can't be that bad. But, no, he just does not shut up the entire time.
Yeah.
So if you're going to have that much writing in the game, it would have been great if you had writers that could back that up.
Mm, I see what you're saying. Yeah, but here's my thing. Aren't you going to talk over it? Like, and don't get me wrong, this isn't an out. I'm not giving it out at all. But it's that idea of like, hey, he's got to be annoying, so he's have him because we want to point out that he's a dirtbag. We want you to kill him, do all these different things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't. Again, with Borderlands 3, I'm usually playing it with people, and it's me and Goldfarb talking about what he did over the weekend and what we're working on this trophy. So I'm ignoring that stuff anyway, right? Like, I feel like if it's not a cutscene, it's which aren't also great. Don't get me wrong. Do we care that it's like?
I think we talk over it because we can ignore it.
Okay, fair.
Like if it were good, then like everyone would be. I've been playing Remnant from the Ashes recently, like with some friends. When there's story stuff, we tend to just like shut up and like listen to the story. Like, not that it's like amazing writing, but it's, you know, I'm interested in that story in that world. When it's Borderlands, I'm like, I wonder if I should turn the dialogue, the voice down to zero, because like some of the. I like Tiny Tina in Borderlands 2. I don't like her at all in Borderlands 3.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what they changed to make her annoying, but they made her annoying somehow.
You know, on her pizza talk of making the pizza bombs?
Oh, I think it was like she was using Yas Queen, but like using it incorrectly. And I'm like, how do you use that incorrectly?
Yeah, I remember that. That was bad.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I enjoy Borderlands 3 a lot. It's probably going to find its place in my top 10 this year.
Yeah.
But whenever Reese is talking, I'm like, I remember that scene from Tales of the Borderlands when he took the chip out. And it is one of the best scenes, period, in a Telltale game.
Yeah.
I cannot, like, imagine how that Reese connects to this Reese.
And that's the thing is, like, to get to the Reese part of it, yes.
Yeah.
Regardless, like, as soon as he opens his mouth, it's like, oh, man, it's not Troy. And I'm not that kind of guy, right? But you're not Reese. I know Reese so well. I love Reese. You're not Reese right now. And then let alone when all it is this... I got a mustache.
Yeah.
Do you like the mustache? Funny choice at the end of, you know, what you do with the mustache. But outside of that, it's just like, okay, cool. You pale in comparison to what's come before. I agree 100% with that.
It's like the inverse of the infamous thing we were talking about a couple of weeks ago of like when they tried to change the character design.
Yeah.
But like the writing and the character of the Cole would have been still the same, which would have had some dissonance to it. They kind of do the opposite thing with Reese of like, okay, well, the writing's different, but the character is still the same. So. They want me to say think this is Reese, but in my head, this is not the same character that I went through those 12 hours of the story
with. And that's a great point, too, especially using the Infamous example, right? Because they did change voice actors in Infamous 1 to 2.
Yeah.
But in 2, Eric Layden came in and he owned it. And he did feel like Cole, right? And he paid homage to that, and it was a direct connection to everything we'd gone through. Excuse me, in Infamous 1, right?
Yeah. So, like, if Troy Baker not voicing it is not a... It doesn't... If it were a very well, if it were Reese, if it were actually Reese, written by those writers or written just as well, I would have been like, this is a shame. This is an absolute tragedy that he did not get in.
Yeah.
But with him not being like.
Just being a character we run by and get missions from.
Yeah. It's like, all right, well, that's fine.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't care that much.
For me, I don't know if you've gotten to it. It's a side mission I did way late in game in Borderlands 3. The only time where I've literally had to mute it was you basically test an AR game. It's not like I know there's the VR one early on.
The VR one is also bad, but yeah.
It's just that filter where I was just like, my eyes are going to fall out of my face.
I feel like it got worse as the mission went on.
Well, it goes on too long. So yeah. Your eyes are like, my eyes are going to explode. The AR one where they're totally, it's like traditionally what Borderlands, I think, will mess up with their jokes, where it's like, oh, you're making fun of microtransactions and how games are launched broken already. Ha ha. And then it keeps going and keeps shoving that joke down. And there's this woman who's in T-pose. Dancing behind you, or like, you know, you're following her and it's an escort mission to make fun of how bad escort missions are. Mm-hmm. And it's like on surface level and all how bad her like stand in dialogue is, surface level, you're like, oh man, that's funny.
Yeah.
When it keeps fucking going and it's so goddamn annoying, and I'm like, I had to mute it because Jen was like, please shut this up. And I'm like, I know, I was gonna power through, but we have to mute it. It's fine.
I was talking when I was playing with some friends last night, we were like, there was a way to make those YouTube villains work. And I think what they should have done is they should have done like, you know, those title cards with like they said the name and a joke. They should have been like the YouTube thumbnails of like, can't believe Pandora doesn't have a vault key and just like arrows pointing to nothing. Going like that.
The circles. Yeah.
They should have done that, but that parts of that game feel like they're a couple years too late for a lot of those things.
Sure. Number 3 on the Roper Report. PlayStation Now has cut its price in half. PlayStation Now subscriptions will now start at $9.99 monthly, while adding marquee limited-time titles such as Grand Theft Auto V and God of War to more than 800 games available on the service. Starting today, PlayStation Now, which is on PlayStation 4 systems and PC, will be offered at the following prices, keeping in line with pricing of other entertainment streaming services. Customers will see the price change in their next billing cycle. U.S. is now $10 a month, as we said earlier, $25 quarterly, or $60 yearly. PlayStation Now will also expand the industry's largest games library for a console subscription service with additional blockbuster content available for a limited window. These games can be streamed on a PlayStation 4 system or PC or downloaded to a PS4 system. The new content is among the most played and highly acclaimed games on the PlayStation 4 platform and will be added on a monthly basis. Launching today are God of War, Grand Theft Auto V, Infamous Second Son, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. Imran, We're down $10, cut in half on PlayStation Now. Does this change everything?
This is the price it should have launched at.
Yeah.
But I think they're kind of feeling the heat of Game Pass a little bit. Yeah. Like, also, it does feel like this is a Jim Ryan initiative of we need to get into streaming. So you want to set that ground for whatever PS5 is going to do. Because you want people to give you more money every month. And sometimes the best way to do that is to cut the price of what they have to pay. Especially in an era where, like, you're also making big moves on PlayStation Vue, because they made that Disney deal a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And they're also, like, people have to pay so many subscription fees now that it doesn't make sense to have a $20 a month thing just to stream games. So they're realizing that. I don't think this is going to break any sort of, like, walls open for that service. It's going to get a couple of, I would say this probably maybe doubles to a third, like, a third to doubles the number of people who are playing it, but that's not a huge number to begin with. What it does is, like I said, it lays a foundation for PS5 of this is what we're going to do. This is the kind of thing service you'd expect from us. Like, maybe you pay a higher PS Plus price to get this rolled in, like Game Pass Ultimate does.
Yeah.
That seems like a logical step for them, but I don't think this is like, this on its own is not going to change the game.
Yeah, you figure, what if you don't have a PlayStation 4, I guess now you can use PlayStation Now at least for a limited time to get in and get God of War on your PC, Grand Theft Auto on your PC, Infamous, Uncharted, Grand Theft Auto is a bad example. Mm-hmm. But the other, you know what I mean, those three Sony first party games, if you're just an Xbox PC person, jump in and use them, yeah, but is that enough to actually move the needle? Is it just future proofing? Ryan T from Tennessee writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey KOGDD. Well, anyways, hey, KFGD, just one D. With the new price drop for PlayStation Now and the addition of some of the first-party games, God of War and Uncharted 4 to PlayStation Now, and the announcement that October's PlayStation Plus includes MLB The Show and The Last of Us, do you think this is closer to Sony testing the waters for a more Game Pass-like approach to first parties on Plus and Now? Or do you think that this was a way to get more value into these services without having to make deals with third parties?
I think they see why Game Pass is successful, and I think they're kind of scared. Not scared of what Microsoft is going to do, but scared of the way that changes the market. Because, like, Gears 5 is a very good example of, we don't understand how that's benefiting Microsoft because they have the internal numbers on it, so we don't know what their budget is and what line crosses the other line. So Gears 5, not selling great, but doing fantastic numbers on Game Pass, which is like $2 for 2 months.
Yeah.
So everyone jumped in to play Gears of War for $2, and like maybe they stay in for another couple of months.
They play
the
multiplayer,
don't.
They do the microtransactions we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, so for Microsoft, maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I think Sony is looking at something like The Last of Us and being like, if the market moves to the point where they expect people to have The Last of Us just for download day one for subscription cost.
Yeah.
Is that good for them? Will they make back the money on a multi-million dollar portfolio builder like that game? I can't say. The market is changing in very weird ways.
Rapidly.
Yeah. And it really depends on how they're scoping their budgets for that sort of thing. But I think they're testing the waters of, will this do better with first-party games on there? And if the answer is yes, they might start putting new first-party games on there. Like, honestly, if you own a PS4 and you haven't bought Second Son yet, you were not super interested in that game, so you may be interested if you also have a subscription.
Yeah.
But if you start putting new games on the service as well, people will start subscribing for those new games. And that changes the the math completely.
I don't think they go day and date with PlayStation exclusive, you know, the first party games, and I'm talking about the AAA first party games.
Yeah.
I don't think they do that until next generation when they fall behind.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a way of like trying to fire everything you got to catch up to Xbox if that's what you need to do. Because Xbox doing it right, granted, they haven't had the first party lineup, they haven't had the AAA lineup right, Game Pass in particular, with Gears of War really being the first, hey, this is the first mega AAA everybody's excited for, and I don't mean to offend you Forza fans, but you know what I mean, right?
No,
the one
yeah,
that like gets outside of a genre, I think. That was less of a risk for them, and they'd rather get you in to be like, cool, you've heard about Sea of Thieves, you've heard about State of Decay 2, you've heard about Forza, here's a cheap way to get in and try it, and then hopefully you find the library of games, find stuff you've missed, you want to play it and keep it around for that. And I think that was a good way to get people turning their Xbox on and keeping them coming back to their Xbox for that value.
Mm-hmm.
But if PlayStation first party games are going to continue to come out and just fucking dominate in sales like Spider-Man did, right? Or
yeah,
or like God of War did, or like Uncharted 4 did. I mean, how many units do you think Last of Us Part 2 is going to ship, right? Like,
it'll be a 50 million seller at least.
Right? I mean, like, there's no, even though it's cool that you could get, what, 5% of that 50 million to pay you $10 a month and stick around. That, I mean, theoretically and statistically probably would happen, but why gamble it when you could, you know, you can make that money out of brick and mortar or digital sales?
It definitely also changes the calculus of how you release those games, because like Last of Us 2 won't have multiplayer at launch.
Yeah.
It would need to have multiplayer at launch if you wanted to have that kind of release.
100%, yeah.
Because like you want to keep people playing repeatedly and you want to have them feed into an ecosystem with like small microtransactions,
sure,
and things like that.
Well, I mean, I downloaded Remastered two nights ago, right, to get ready, because eventually I'm going to have time, wink, wink, before Last of Us 2 to play it. And it was that same thing of like, it's like 25 plus pieces of DLC. I'm like, what the fuck? And I'm like, oh, right. The multiplayer, all the cosmetics they made for that game. Like, all right, there they are. Like, there you go. It's something you don't think about with Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
Like how much that and the hats they put out for Uncharted multiplayer and shit like that.
I will say, like, I'm going to wrap Nintendo into this a little bit, because, like, the way Nintendo does their online offerings of, like, here's a free Kirby game, here's a free Tetris game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are interesting, and I think that is a method Sony could go down as well. But I think they're more eyeing Game Pass and this sort of thing. And like, Ready Set Heroes comes out
today.
It's today. Nobody knows. And nobody really cares.
Yeah.
And like, that would be the kind of game that would be ideal
100%.
To be like, here, I know you're not going to buy this game, but here's
free. Do you want a competitive 2v2 dungeon crawler?
Yeah.
No, what the fuck is that? You know how many games are out right now? And oh, are we using established PlayStation characters? No, it's random woodland creatures. No, I don't have time or need that. But if, to your point,
if it's on the service,
if
like,
it was free and it's, hey, there's this game out that you're already paying for, why not give it a shot? Maybe you get a player base.
I spend a decent amount of time just going through Game Pass and being like, oh, I've never played this game. Blazing Chrome is a great example of like,
yeah,
I'm not going to pay for this game. Like,
yeah,
I want to play it, but I don't have anyone to play with. So there's calculus in mind of like, oh, I'm not getting the full value, but it's on Game Pass. I'll just download it and play it. Like,
yeah,
it's worth it. It's a great game.
Yeah.
They should start doing things like that.
And that's my thing is like, they should if they want that.
Yeah.
Like, Ready Set Heroes is such a great example of looking around and being like, what year is it? Because this is a PlayStation 3 move.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's this weird game we made. Do you want to play it? You're like, I don't, I know, like, but it's cool you guys are making weird shit. Like
I like to play it. I don't want to pay for it.
I played it at the preview event.
Yeah,
and it was fine. Cool. But it's like, if you don't have a library of those, a lineup of those, a chamber in your gun full of those, like, why would you? And also then, I still don't believe that PlayStation knows what they want to do with PlayStation now.
Yeah.
And if they want to actually go toe-to-toe with Xbox and compete with Game Pass.
Like if you soft launch it with games like Concrete Genie and things like that, that makes way more sense than like this weird thing they're doing of like, I guess, not the most recent Uncharted game or Infinite, like a near launch title.
Yeah.
That we have like, is it even Infamous Second Son plus the DLC or just... Like
it's just Second Son, yeah.
Okay.
No, First Light. They would have made a big deal about that or said deluxe edition.
By the way, I want to say like I've been looking at you talking this conversation this entire time. Every time I turn to the side to take a drink of water, I see you on the screen in that outfit. I'm like, I'm immediately caught off guard.
Oh, sorry. If you're an audio listener, I'm wearing a sick Halloween suit.
Yeah,
it's fucking dope.
Sick is the word I would use.
I'm toying around.
Is it the word you would use?
I want
not,
y'all
not
to sound off every sound off in the comments. I have thought about, similar to how I wore the Santa hat every day in December last year, wear the Halloween suit every day in October. So sound
gross.
Off if you'd like that. What?
You gotta wash it, man.
No, it's from Spirit Halloween. It's fine. It's
you
very,
know
it breathes.
You don't
a
have
lot.
To wash anything for Spirit Halloween.
Exactly. It breathes a lot. And let me
right.
tell you, these elastic pants, I should get more elastic pants.
Are you sure?
Which part?
All of it.
You know what I am sure about? There's a lot of games coming up, but they're not here right now. If I wanted to know what did come to the Mom and Gop Shop today,
the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Before I get to out today, let me tell you about our sponsors. I'll begin with Quip. Did you know that nearly everyone at Kind of Funny uses a Quip toothbrush? As you've probably heard one of our showers before, I bet you did. But what actually makes a better toothbrush? Industrial strength power, claims of miraculous trendy ingredients, multiple modes. If you ask your dentist, they'll tell you it's less about the brush and more about how you use it. That's why Quip was created by dentists and product designers to focus on what actually matters for your oral health, healthier habits. Quip's sensitive vibrations with a built-in timer guide gentle brushing for the dentist-recommended 2 minutes with 30-second pulses, ensuring an even clean. Quip automatically delivers brush heads to your door every 3 months for clean new bristles right on schedule. The sleek, intuitive design is simple to use and comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. These thoughtful features make brushing something you actually want to do twice a day. Good habits matter to live a healthier life, so help form fresh oral habits with Quip. Quip starts at just $25, and you can get your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. This is a simple way to support our show and start brushing better, but you have to go to getquip.com/games for your first refill pack for free. Right now, to getquip.com/games. Next up, it's Third Love. Almost all of the Kinda Honeys are wearing Third Love bras, and with their tagless options, half cup sizes, and amazing customer service, it's easy to see why. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. Third Love offers more than 80 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. You can skip the trip, find your fit with Third Love's online Fit Finder, order, and try it at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. They're available every day via text, chat, and phone. Returns and exchanges are free and easy as well. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Out today, Imran. Mobile Suit Gundam Battle Operation 2 is on PlayStation 4. I assume Andy is calling in sick to play it. Destiny 2 Shadowkeep is launched on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Are you going to play this one?
Maybe.
I downloaded it last night. Like, do I want to do this again? Because, like, Borderlands, I've had so much fun shooting things with my friends. I'm like, is it time to go back here? Is it time to go back to Destiny? It's been, like, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
And that's a long time.
I think I played, what was that big one they did last year?
I don't know.
Yeah, I played a little bit of that, and I'm like, all right, I think I've had my Destiny fill.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, I think that's the way I play Destiny. It's like, I'll just go in for every new expansion and, like, big expansion.
Sure.
Play a little bit, and then I'm done.
We'll see.
Yeah.
You know a girl who chants love at the bound of this world is on PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC. Ready, Set, Heroes is on PlayStation 4. 80 Days is on Switch. Sniper Elite 3 Ultimate Edition is on Switch. Lantarium is on Switch. Super Crate Box is on Switch. Hunting on Myths is on PC. Particle Wars is on PC. What the Golf is on the Epic Game Store today. Neverwinter Uprising is on Xbox One and PS4. Call of Duty Mobile is now available in all countries and regions where Google Play and App Store are supported, with the exception of mainland China, Vietnam, and Belgium. Sorry to all those people listening to us from there. What, you want to see the trailer for this?
For You Know.
And this is You Know, a girl who chants love at the bounds of this world. Barrett's going to show you the trailer. PUBG Corporation has released its latest update to live console servers.
All right, I'm already feeling uncomfortable about this.
Yeah, this is...
Update for what? Because that woman is like an astral. She was naked and astral?
Yeah.
A girl who chants love... Oh, that's just still the title. I like how you're like, I feel uncomfortable. You're going to let it play. It's on PlayStation. A strange gift left by your father sparks an adventure. If this isn't on Vita, man, you're missing out on visual novel fans everywhere. You want to know what his research focused on? Travel through time to solve. Whoa!
Okay, alrighty.
So this is definitely a Vita game, whether or not it's on Vita.
You can click off, but let it keep playing. I want to see how this develops. All right. What is the secret of the sword cape?
What?
Not the sword cape, just sword
I'm
cape
sorry,
proper
I apologize.
Noun. Yeah, so maybe it's a cape, or maybe like it's a cape.
What is?
This what Kaori is after?
Seek out the right path to reach the truth. What a jam already, though. Who is she? Man.
This is a very, like, Sega Saturn vibe to me.
It just screams Vita to me.
Yeah.
With some weird, creepy-ass touch controls. Anyways, PUBG has a new update out. 4.3 introduces cross-platform play to Xbox One and PlayStation 4 users. Players from both consoles are now able to join the same matchmaking pool and face off on the battleground for the first time ever. The Sinking City team has put out a console patch that was, they said, was heavily delayed for multiple reasons. To try to make up for the delay, they've added additional enhancements to the game, plus free DLC outfits. The same enhancements and DLC will come to PC very soon. And then Borderlands announced its 10th anniversary celebration in 10 years ago. Borderlands 1 came out. Starting today for the and through the next 5 weeks, there's going to be all sorts of events happening in Borderlands 3. Right now, they've launched Boss Week. This is basically until October 8th. You can go play, and bosses have increased chance of dropping a unique legendary item. Week 2 is going to be a rare spawn hunt. Week 3 is going to be Show Me the Iridium. Week 4 is going to be Mayhem on Twitch. And week 5 is going to be Spooky Surprise.
Ooh.
Do you want a spooky surprise?
Yes, I do.
I want better guns, so I'm hoping for that legendary drop.
You get those legendaries, yeah. Get on there.
I want something that breaks the game, because that's more fun for me.
Huh. What, where you can just like one-hit kill everything?
Yeah. Okay. I want guns that are just like, this is unfairly powerful, and that's hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. New dates for you. Chasm's going to get a massive update on Switch, PS4, and Xbox One Thursday, October 3rd. They dropped a new trailer for Mortal Kombat 11 showing the Terminator T-800. That's going to be available October 8th.
He's not voiced by Arnold.
No, very distractingly so. Yeah, you know?
Like, if you can't get Arnold, then, like, cancel the character.
Why do it? Yeah. Why just have the robot Terminator?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't have it be the Schwarzenegger, but you want to start...
If Bruce Campbell isn't voicing Ash, then, like, cancel that character, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just bring some other Mortal Kombat 4 character in there.
Yeah, yeah. Battlefield 5 is also getting Operation Underground multiplayer map on October 3rd. Imran, we sprinkled in the reader mail there. Let me see. I know I put two general, more general ones in here. Let's go. Yeah, we'll do this one, all right? We're going to start with Riot Goes Woof. Riot Goes Woof writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can. It says, hello to Greg and Imran. Apex Legends Season 3 drops today. About this time a month ago, I had lost some interest in Apex thanks to their microtransaction and PR fumble on Reddit, which put a bit of a sour taste in my mouth. The new character, map, weapon, and game tweaks have me stoked to hop back in and forgive their past mistakes, if they've truly learned from them. Do you think people are too quick to forgive mistakes or bad choices that companies make? Or do we maybe need to take a step back sometimes and realize that some things are not that big of a deal, or remember that there are humans behind these mistakes? I realize it's more of a case-by-case answer, but maybe some examples stick out.
I don't know, if you feel however you want to feel about a game or a developer or whatever you need to feel.
Yeah.
But if you want to forgive something, then forgive it. If you don't, if it like does bother you the way something works, like there are games that I'm probably not going to play a sequel because I didn't like the first one. That doesn't mean I'm holding it against them. It means I just don't care or don't have any interest in it because I have a previous experience that like colors my next one.
Sure.
So in this sense, we're coming to this in a very new perspective because games as a service is still a very new thing.
Yeah.
But if you think they are going to make the microtransaction mistake again, then don't get into it. But if it's just they made it once and thus you don't like them now, like, I think that's still fine, but not understand it's not super fair, but again, you feel how you want to feel.
Of course, we can't tell you that.
Yeah, it just do what you like. I think it behooves you, if you're so interested in the game, to give them chances if they want or you think they deserve them.
For me, it falls into the latter, at least with Apex Legends, in this very specific answer, because I don't want this applied to, well, this studio killed a bunch of dogs, and you're still playing their game. No, I'm not. It falls into the latter on this one, right? Do we maybe need to take a step back sometimes and realize that things are not that big of a deal? That's probably the ding, ding, ding answer in terms of how we all get ratcheted up on the internet every day about something new.
Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of real atrocities and things that need to change and like real issues we deal with. But yeah, when like, and again, I know I'm out on the ledge here because I don't play Apex. I'm not super familiar with it. Originally, I remember when this story happened, it was that weird thing they'd put out where it was like
they basically went ham on loot boxes.
Yeah, but it was like it would be $150 to buy everything from this thing, right? And then they put out a statement being like, hey, like, we hear you, sorry, it won't be like that. And I was like, see, everything's okay. And everybody wrote in like, no, there's these other fucking loot boxes that you're not talking about. I'm like, I don't know anything about that. Sorry, you know what I mean? Like, it is this thing of, I think, you know, going back to it, that, and I've said this a lot, and I know it doesn't get me any fans usually, but there are humans behind these mistakes. Yeah. And I, even though it's easy to look at people and be like, they're just out here to gouge us. I think a lot of times they're not. And like, it's Rod Ferguson talked about Gears yesterday, right? Of like, hey, we're learning as we go. We're doing all this. We understand right now you're not happy with the microtransactions. We're going to adjust. We're going to change. We're figuring this all out for the first time.
Yeah. It's very easy, especially in this internet age, as people who are more or less raised on the internet, it's easy to think of every name or whatever you see as an abstraction of like, I know them based, I'm sure I know them because I've seen their name a lot. And or they are doing a thing that I am familiar with, like Apex Legends. And it's easy to go like, oh, well, these people must be bad because they're doing a thing I don't like.
Yeah.
And like that doesn't necessarily apply here, but because there is that kind of cuts both ways with the way the reaction to those loot boxes went and the developers went on Reddit and like.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
They went on Reddit and were like, fuck you guys. Like, that's a different
people
story.
I can understand people having sour taste in their mouth about that too. Yeah, yeah. I also don't entirely think they're wrong about some of that stuff either.
Sure.
Of like the kind of threats you get. Like I remember it was a Call of Duty guy who was in charge of multiplayer or something like that. He was like, he was on the team for it and he would just post his death threats that he would get because he would like nerf a shotgun and people would be incredibly angry about it. So like I said, it cuts both ways in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But again, the idea of maybe things just aren't a big deal, that is probably the takeaway you need to come with it. There are lines in the sand. Like, there is a... I don't want to get too far into it without knowing the name of the developer or the game, but there is a thing now about a developer, an indie developer who's, like, very... What's the word? Gleefully transphobic.
Mm.
And the, like, people are posting like logs and Twitter our tweets that are
kind of
like
something developed today. A friend just sent me of the whole sale thing. Did you see that?
Yeah, it's like 41%, which is it's hard to get like the actual like fact out of that.
Yeah,
because are they trying to make fun of trans suicide rates or are they just making a 41% off sale?
Like, 41% is weird,
it's very specific.
Weirdly specific to me. Yeah. That I think they're trying to make fun of that in a weird, very gross way. So yeah that sucks.
And, like, that is a line in the sand where I'd be like, no, I'm not going to support anything these guys do.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, maybe that line in the sand for you is loot boxes. Who knows?
Yeah. It's a personal decision, right, and how you go and, you know, free society and stuff.
Yeah.
One other question I had here. Nanobiologist says that his girlfriend says that you have to say something to him, Imran?
Yeah, nanobiologist play Slender? I think it was Slender or Slenderman? Slenderman? Slenderman.
Where does this come from?
The subreddit.
Oh, okay.
She posted a thing on the subreddit saying, can you guys get nanobiologists to play Slenderman with me?
Gotcha. Okay.
And I was like, remind me on Tuesday.
And you've been reminded.
Yeah, I've been reminded. Play the game.
It's time to squad up where you can play games with people, maybe even nanobiologist or his girlfriend or Imran or Parrot. Not me. I ain't going to play with him. Chris Waterman wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. He needs help on Twitch. Twitch name is Rental Rush, all one word. Hey, y'all. This weekend, I am partnering with the folks over in the Killer Queen Jacksonville community for an all-woman takeover of my Twitch channel for a breast cancer awareness charity stream. The stream will run all weekend, starting Friday, October 4th at 8:30 p.m. and running through roughly 6 p.m. on Sunday, October 6th. We will be taking breaks for sleep for full transparency. All proceeds go directly to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation. This is a very important cause, as I have many close friends and family members that have been affected by this terrible disease. It would mean the world to me if some of the best friends would stop by, hang in the chat, donate a buck or two, and help us kick cancer's ass. If you want to watch, you can go to twitch.tv/rentalrush. Thanks for all you do, Kind of Funny team. You all are amazing.
Have you played amazing. Killer Queen Black?
I've played at events. I haven't played the...
They have it. They have a machine at... There's like a new barcade by, you know, where the Microsoft Loft is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a new barcade over there, and I noticed they have that game there.
So good.
Yeah.
God, I love Killer Queen. I'm excited for it to come to Switch, Xbox, etc. But mainly for Switch, so we can just play it everywhere. It's time for You're Wrong. This is where people write into patreon.com. KindoffUnny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screwed up. Virtual Boy says, the question of why Gearbox is not fully unionized came up. According to them, Texas law prevents them, as it is a, quote, right to work state, which means they can't deny anyone employment based on membership or non-membership of a labor union or organization. There's a link to a VG247 article explaining. Ill Grill Chill says Amazon Prime announced their monthly free games are available now for PC. It's Telltale's The Walking Dead Michonne, Deadlight Director's Cut, Adam Wolf, Serial Cleaner, and Stranger Things 3, the game. Nanobiologist says we miss new deals, games coming to Game Pass. Dishonored 2 comes October 3rd. World War Z and Ukulele come October 10th. Fallout New Vegas, Felix the Reaper, Panzer, Dragon, Orta come October 17th.
Is there a word for that feeling of like when you bought a game full price and then like at some point it's just free and you still haven't played it?
Just regret.
Yeah. For me, that's Dishonored 2.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I really want to play that game, and I remember buying it full price with, like, FF15 at the same, like, I think the same day I bought those games.
It's great.
Just never touched it.
It's great. One of the greatest games this generation.
I will probably play it sometime soon. Now that it's on Game Pass, I don't have to install it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Zaire points out Game Informer just revealed their next cover, which is Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Yeah. That was my last hope for any Batman news soon, and it's not happening!
Yeah, as far as I know, there is no Batman. Granted, Pokemon was the last thing I knew about.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Game Awards, I guess, Barrett?
That
tease was way too fucking soon for Game Awards. It's bullshit.
It is bullshit. He's right. I agree. That is really dumb marketing.
It's bad. It's bad. It was a bad. It's a bad weird call. Thing. Well, you know, why don't we capitalize? It's weird.
Yeah, I guess they had to do it for Batman Day, but like.
But they didn't even do it on Batman Day. It's the day after. It's lame.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Tomorrow I'll be hosting with Odell Harmon Jr. returning to the show. Thursday, Imran's back with me. Then he's sticking around to do the games cast with me, which you can watch. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. Me, Tim, Imran, and Fran. And then Friday, it's Imran and Tim. I said Twim.
Twim.
But I meant Tim.
I called him Greg when I walked in earlier.
Well, we look exactly the same.
Yeah,
now.
I know. Like in
hopefully
fairness,
the suit now.
Yeah, in fairness, if someone called me, I'd be like, "There's no difference."
Well, it's like even now, if he was here right now, right, it would just be this weird palette swap to you. Well, they can't create a character. They're just like different skin color. Done. There you go. You know, Barrett, never get glasses like us. Okay, we can't have it all look like this.
We need to get Winter to grow a beard and Fran to get glasses.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. We're sorry we all kind of look alike. please be part of the show. Patreon.com/KindaFunnyGames. You know the rest. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Receipts.com. Podcast services around the globe. Watch live on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.